Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time, and we think we have phones. All right, we'll see. Big guess. There you go. Big issues, big guest is the mantra here. Dr. Oz is here at 12:30 today. Dr. Oz coming back. He's the head administrator of Medicare, Medicaid. And Dr. Oz stood with RFK Jr. yesterday announcing with all these insurance companies that affect 8 out of 10 Americans because of the threats from RFK. That they are going to knock it off with all the hoops they put us through so that you'll give up with pre-authorization. All that stuff, right? That bureaucratic term. And this is the lane. This is the lane I'm looking for with RFK. And I'm glad that Dr. Oz is really the co-pilot on this thing. So you're going to hear him with us. And he is willing to talk about Medicaid in the big, beautiful bill. He's just going to... And he's back from Kensington recently. So Dr. Oz back with us at 12:30 today with big news, a victory again in the Trump administration around the issue of insurance companies and pre-authorizations, including they're going to cut down the number of things you have to get pre-authorization for before you can go to that specialist. You know what we're talking about. This is exactly what I was hoping RFK Jr. would stay in these lanes, because these lanes have a lot of impact for Americans, plus they take a lot of effort, a lot of bludgeoning to get this to go forward. All right, so we have that going on. The best line of the day that I've seen on Twitter for a woman who writes for The Federalist says, you know what? What happened in New York City yesterday or yesterday night, that's a great reason not to get, never to have a salt tax. In other words, a tax break in the federal government if you're in these ridiculous states like New York. Let them suffer. They voted for them. Now, this guy, post-October 7th, went after Israel. But we're not allowed to bring up his interpretation of the Muslim faith. Let's call it that. Why is this successful in New York? All right, I'll give you one angle, one theory, and Stephen Miller always sticks to this, and I somewhat agree. Here's Stephen Miller, who, by the way, I saw in the streets of Washington. I'm more convinced I should have yelled out and not listened to Dan. A bald-headed, thin guy with a fine suit walking at the White House. That's Stephen Miller. He tweeted out, NYC is the clearest warning yet of what happens to a society when it fails to control migration, legal or illegal. And I think that's spot on. Here's the other reason why, and it's very Krasner-esque, why this stuff works. It's got the juice. Suddenly, every few years or so, socialism, oh, these people have too much money. Why can't we have some of that? Let's have government stores. This guy says free bus fare. Get rid of the police. Get rid of prisons. Alvin Bragg will be there to help. Why is that popular? Because it's juicy. It gets it flowing. Remember with Krasner. Part of the juice of these nitwits around it. They just love the excitement of it. Did you ever see when some harebrained idea, sometimes in the world of sports, sometimes in the world of politics, we could probably do a side question on that. It's got juice. Why didn't we think of this before? And the reason we didn't think about it before is we did think about it and it doesn't work. It results in death of societies and of individuals. That's why. How many times has this been tried? How many people have died under communism / socialism? Hundreds and hundreds of millions. But it's exciting. It's different. It's not like all these people saying, well, you know, we can't be doing this, that, and the other. And this guy, though, this guy is dangerous. This guy is a maniac. Because this guy's smoother, and he's tapping into what they want to hear and what I think Mikey Sherrill thinks she's going to tap into in New Jersey affordability. Why are things not more affordable? Hey, buddy, it's because of progressives and socialists like you are in charge. So, Dan, you're not a smoker. You're maybe a vapor at that point.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay, yeah. How much do you think 20 cigarettes cost, at least the figure I see on their website today, a pack? I guess it's $20.
$18.
I have 1045. This must be dated. Is it 18?
Oh, are we not in New York City? Because New York City there.
Yeah, New York.
In New York?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then.
And the excise tax just on 20 cigarettes is $5.35.
Is that included in that $10 already?
No, well, that'd be added on.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's around 18.
Right. Okay, right. So $5.35, just the excise tax for 20 cigarettes. Who is it that does that? Progressives. They tax everything in New York. And then that drives others to think, well, you're in New York. You got to expect New York prices now. Why is it not affordable in New York? Because of the overregulation, the overtaxation, and you have enough wealthy people that can afford that and want to live there. It's the same thing with Jersey. You have enough people that can afford it, sort of, and want to live there. Who's responsible for the property taxes? Progressives, Democrats. By the way, I'm glad the phones are restored. I would love to have a chat with the mayor of Cherry Hill. The mayor of Cherry Hill is featured in the Inquirer. The Inquirer is doing this new section. They have a bureau of sorts in Cherry Hill now, you know, the local expansion. And they talk about how the Cherry Hill police, God bless their hearts, chief of police over there, took their oath on Tuesday saying they're not going to help ICE. They don't care about anything. They're not going to be involved in that. Don't even put ice in your drinks over there in Cherry Hill. Don't say the word ice. We're de-icing. And they talk about an incident, the Inquirer does, that the mayor of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, is involved in which there was this manhunt for this guy who's allegedly, yeah, let me give you the exact thing here. The statement by Chief Warnick, who is the chief of police there, came at the heels of a recent fugitive investigation by U.S. Marshals in Cherry Hill that culminated in the apprehension of Darlin Franco Guzman, a 25-year-old Honduran national in Trenton. Franco Guzman was accused of breaking into a home and trying to assault a 12-year-old girl in Maryland. The search for Franco-Guzman drew a large law enforcement presence on Wesley Avenue in Cherry Hill, raising concerns among township residents. The mayor, David Fleischer, said, "Given the national political climate around immigration, I sincerely understand concerns and anxiety around incidents involving federal law enforcement." Hey, Mr. Mayor, they're chasing a guy that broke into a house to sexually assault a 12-year-old. And you're worried with these clowns over on Wesley Avenue that ICE was there looking for him in your Cherry Hill, which is a sanctuary city or town, whatever you want to call it. Give us a call and explain those concerns. What were they concerned about? Were you concerned about the 12-year-old girl, residents of Wesley Avenue? These guys in these towns, these pipsqueaks like Cherry Hill, constantly playing this tactic against ICE. This is an ICE-free zone. All right, so phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All that you need to do is just push pound 1210. Why is Jersey in the governor's race not affordable? We know it's not affordable. The property taxes are ridiculous. They tax everything. They overregulate everything. They're into your life constantly. And they do it because they know people don't want to move out of Jersey. So then the people that are living under this burden come to us and say, we need $40,000 off of our federal taxation to make up for all this. Look at New York. Hey, if you want to elect a guy like this, why should the rest of the country bail you out? That's the principle. Well, we didn't vote for him. By the way, the voters for this guy, a breakdown says that the Zoran, the maniac socialist, he got only 20% of Black or African-American voters. But he got 36% of white voters and a whopping 58% of Asian voters. That one I can't figure out. What the heck happened to Asians in New York? And we have a montage of him speaking all kind, you know, in different languages. Nobody seems to speak English here. That's part of the appeal. Cuomo got 44% of Black voters, 50% of Hispanic voters, only 25% of white voters, and only 16% of Asian voters. Kind of interesting. I mean, you know, not that Cuomo is the ideal candidate. What does this mean for Democrats? Big problems. What do they do? My hope is they read the tea leaves of this and they say, you know what? They're coming after us. The AOCs, guys like this that are younger, they're in their 30s, they're going to get rid of us and the Democrat Party. I hope that's what the read is. And the read is there's only one thing to do. The thing to do is to go radical, at least to pretend, go more progressive. Please do that. I'm loving that this guy's there. Now, if he were here in Philadelphia and we have to deal with it more, I'd have to reassess that. This guy is gold, though, and more will come out about him. October 7th, he goes after Israel. This is the TikToking. This is the Democrat Party of what it is today. No prisons, no cops, Alvin Bragg, DA. He'll arrest Netanyahu if he comes to the UN. If he comes to America, he's not coming to New York City. He seems like he thinks he'll arrest Trump or something. I'm going to stop fascism. What happened to New York? What happened? Let's bring the other flavor in. What happened to the city that experienced 9/11? I wouldn't say that if this guy just happened to be Muslim. But he supports Hamas. He supports global intifada. So he's certainly more in that column. How could a city that went through that attack, which was based upon a perversion of religion, but religion, how could they elect a guy like this? What does that tell us is going to happen in a place like New York? Well, it's migration. It's change. It's a guy who's got the juice. He's saying wild things that won't work, that are destructive. People will flee New York City. But he'll still be mayor, it looks like. All right, 855-839-1210. Dr. Oz at 1230 coming up. Some thoughts on what's our metric of determining how much damage was done in Iran, and who are these people in the Trump administration leaking to CNN saying we didn't do anything at all? Some have called him traitorous. I could hear that out. Side question. I think it was maybe yesterday, but anyhow, in the range today, National Farmer Day. We've never done this. And when I went back and started to look up all-time farmers, either real or fictional, and remember, it's all in the call. We are looking for the person that you think you'd like to nominate for National Farmer's Day. All right, I'm going to take off the board Old McDonald and Ray Kinsella. Field of Dreams. It was a farmer. He grew the Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
All right.
All the corn.
Yeah, all the corn. How about yours, Dan?
How about Dom? Let's go back to when TV wasn't black and white. I'm going to take Lisa Douglas, a great Hungarian, off the board, a.k.a. Ava Gabor, her character from Green Acres when she became
right.
a farmer.
That's right. Zsa Zsa had the better name, but Ava Gabor too, yes. Zsa Zsa.
And while we're there, I'll take off Oliver Wendell Douglas as well.
He was a farmer?
Well, he was the attorney that moved him out to the farm.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's right. You mean Eddie Albert.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Henry.
Yeah, Dom, let's bring some integrity to the program.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. I know Dan would like that. The owner of Tegrity Farms just outside of South Park, Colorado, none other than Randy Marsh, who happens to grow hemp and hemp byproducts at his farm.
Ah, then there's Yasker's farm.
Yeah.
Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
The all-time.
Yeah.
All right. I wonder how many people claim they were at Woodstock. It seems like millions.
Yeah. They remember being at, well, kind of remember
exactly.
being at Woodstock.
They've been there vaguely.
Pretty good cast. I think they had anybody that was big at that point, though, over 24, 48 hours. They did. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in. Hit us with that all-time farmer. We hope to talk with Pastor Bill Devlin. What's the latest on the Fitzgerald trial, the Miles Pfeiffer trial? But Cherry Hill concerned because Franco Guzman, I guess they didn't want ICE to take him away. There's another one to put on your map, Cherry Hill and the mayor of Cherry Hill. Mayor, give us a call. Tell us why you were so concerned that ICE was there. Do you think they shouldn't be tracking this guy? Suppose he was on Wesley Avenue looking to break into a home, Mayor. Yeah, you don't like ICE. So go right ahead, Franco Guzman. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. It is dumb time. Welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hit us with an all-time farmer. National Farmers Day. Dr. Oz here at 1230 with the big one, the Health Secretary, RFK Jr., Dr. Oz, secure an industry pledge under the threat of all kinds of things to fix the broken prior authorization system. Now, this is really drilling down to the details of what gets the average American mad and worried about the healthcare system. But Dr. Oz also is willing to talk about the big, beautiful bill and Medicaid. And too many Republicans see Medicaid as the third rail. The Senate is more right on this. They want to lay the law down to these young men, usually, that can work but don't work, to do something in order to continue to get the benefit. That's what it comes down to. And I think Dr. Oz is publicly going to be saying stuff like that. So this is the type of thing that really matters when the dust settles. Getting the insurance industry to cut it out. And I know that Oz, or at least the Oz people, have told me he's even gone so far as to reference the big healthcare shooter, if you remember, and telling us that, remember what the guy in New York that shot the guy, he was blaming prior authorization systems. Now, that doesn't mean anybody ought to be attacking or shooting anybody, but this is a big deal. This is has universality. We're happy to bring it to you each and every day, people like Dr. Oz. And good to have him back on the show. I think the family's still in the area. I know one of them was a listener. So I'm glad to see him in that role along with RFK Jr. That'll be around 12:30, 3:34, sometime in there. I want to play you a cut, and I realize he's wildly popular. This is cut 19, Henry. But he's widely popular because we've gone too far with the feminization of society. It's the bro culture with Joe Rogan. But Joe Rogan, deep down, is befuddled. It's not exactly any kind of, when you're listening to it, any kind of sensibility or knowledgeability. Listen to what Rogan says about the Trump ICE raids and why Trump never promised anything like this. And if you're a Rogan listener, I think this is more what he does constantly, that is just stupid. Of course, Trump said massive deportation. Here's Rogan.
These ICE raids are nuts, man. Watching this protest on television, it's like...
You think the raids are nuts?
All of it's nuts.
Yeah, I think both sides are taking it a little too hard.
I don't think the Trump administration, if they're running and they said, we're going to go to Home Depot and we're going to arrest all the people at Home Depot, we're going to go to construction sites and we're going to just like tackle people at construction sites. I don't think anybody would have signed up for that. They said, we're going to get rid of the criminals and the gang members first, right? And now we're seeing like Home Depots get raided. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This is the most popular podcaster. I don't know if something else is now at that point, okay? This is just maddening. And this guy, because Kamala Harris wouldn't do the interview, did support Trump. No, Trump said this constantly. Have they gotten rid of everybody here that should be deported that's a criminal alien? No. But they are moving, and that's not quite accurate. They're moving on these sites that are engaged in laundering, drugs, human trafficking, and everything else, in addition to being driven by illegal labor. And yes, People did vote for this, and they still vote for this. Ask yourself, did you vote for this? Was this your understanding? And I think if you're honest, yeah. The Rogans of the world, though, want to have it both ways. Now it's getting messy. Is it? All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line. Hit us on that all-time farmer. We'd love to get you in on that. As far as how are we going to make a determination, I'll give you one metric I'm using. And we're going to bring on people and we'll test their credibility. Who's credible on how much destruction we caused? Throughout the show today, we'll play you some of the CNN people who are just happy because somehow or another, some people have leaked to them the idea that we really didn't destroy Iran's nuclear facilities. That's just flat out crazy. One of the best metrics I can give you on this is not the Israelis. People immediately are going to say, well, the Israelis, of course, are going to say that. Is the fact that Iran is coming to the table. Does that not tell us something? In other words, if we had not really put a crimp, and the definition of that is a couple of years at least for them to reconstitute their nuclear program and however close they were, and they may have moved things here, there, and wherever, but that doesn't mean we have not set them back. And that's what the metric is. Did we set them back pretty significantly here? Well, if it's not, we have more bunker busters. Let's use those. But this idea that, oh, things are just functional, CNN cheering this on almost, is outrageous. It's not, by any stretch of the imagination, that it looks to me from what we've seen and the fact the Iranians are willing to talk as one metric. I'm not using the Israelis. The UN report said significant damage. Why in the world are we quibbling over that? Well, because that's what CNN wants to do. CNN wants to diminish what was done here. And they don't like it when we say, you know what, you're diminishing the work of these American, brave American, skilled American pilots also. They don't like to hear that. But they want to play this card. Now, there's Trump hype stuff at times. Yes. Am I saying every word he has said about this is accurate? No. I'm asking you, how do you go to your gut and say, all right, what's been done here? Because nobody accurately could predict how much this has sent them back. But it seems to me that we did do damage, significant damage, to the main site that was 300 feet down. And the others we may have obliterated. And also, the Israelis are sending the message, which might be the most effective. You work in the nuclear program, we are going to kill you. And I support that wholeheartedly as a moral decision. We are not going to let you blow up nuclear weapons, you crazy mullahs. And if you support them, you're well paid, you think you want to work in that, we're going to hunt you and we're going to take you out. All right, 855-839-1210. That's exactly the right approach. Okay, coming up, Dr. Oz returns. Oz now the head of the Medicare, Medicaid part. He administers that, which particularly the Medicaid has a lot of things. I'm going to talk about that with him in the big, beautiful bill. I don't think he's going to pull punches like some of these politicians do. They're afraid they'll be seen as cruel and mean if they say to perfectly healthy young men, get out there and at least pretend to work at something in order to collect this. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that Oz is going to open up about that. He's just back from Kensington. And this big deal with RFK Jr., I think a really big deal, which if these insurance companies toe the line on this, you are going to see an actual difference. All right, 855-839-1210. All right, Tom Giordano Show, big issues, big guests. Dr. Oz went into hiatus after the loss, and now he's surfaced in a big way with RFK Jr., and they contacted us. They wanted to come on and talk about what they've done with the insurance industry. around this broken prior authorization system. You have to get authorization before any of this can go through. And you're sitting there waiting. Is this nothing? Is it a tumor? What's going on? They have really struck a blow here, essentially by threatening them. Well, the government will get involved and do this if you can't clean this up. And Dr. Oz is right in the center ring. So let's bring back to the Dom Show, Dr. Oz.
Hey, Dr. Oz, thank you. Thanks very much. Dr. Oz, thank you. Welcome back to where you always belong. So many great conversations with you. And you are in the center ring of something that you and RFK Jr. announced that affects, as I understand it, about 8 out of 10 Americans. I know it affects me. Prior authorization process sounds like a bureaucratic term, but it's big. What's happening?
Well, folks know about prior authorization, even if they don't know that name. It's what happens when you, me, and a lot of other folks, and this happens to doctors too, by the way, go to a physician and we need something to be done. And the insurance company is, whoa, wait a second. We're not sure your insurance actually covers that. And you say, geez, you know, I got this lump in my neck and I'm worried about it. And they want to do this biopsy. And I don't know if I have cancer or not and what's going to go down. And meanwhile, the insurance company is very slowly, methodically, taking weeks, sometimes months, figuring out if you actually qualify. It is infuriating. The number one issue that patients complain to us about, and you mentioned it, 8 out of 10, that's a good number to estimate it. And doctors hate it too, because we spend about 12 hours on average a week doing pre-authorization clearance, writing letters to insurance companies, appealing for our patients, 40 patients a week in our practice. And an average doctor's practice will require this. So the Secretary Kennedy and I went to the insurance industry and said, guys, this is not good. Not good for you, not good for docs, not good for the government. We know how to deal with this. If you want to get the federal government coming down hard on you, and as you know, Dom, I'm running the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, so it's my job with Secretary Kennedy to actually make sure that patients get the insurance and the care that they deserve and that they need. And so we went to them and said, if you don't do it, we're going to do it. And God bless these guys. They said, you know what? We don't like it either. If you remember in December when they shot that United Healthcare executive dead in the streets in New York, that's the reason the assassin gave for killing him, because he said the pre-authorization, was destroying the ability of people to get care. So what he did was it was heinous and horrible, but it woke the industry up. So they have voluntarily agreed by the end of this year to clean up the mess that's become pre-authorization. If they don't do it, we know what to do. The government will intervene. We've got lots of interest from our legislators. Senator McCormick and others are very impactful in this area, but we need to make sure, we need to guarantee that Americans are not sitting around waiting for life-saving therapy or procedures while insurance companies are dilly-dallying about pre-authorization.
And doctor, I might add, as a patient, and I think you know this too, you're empathetic to this through the TV show, your own practice. It's not just if you need life-saving care, it's, oh, we'll get back to you with the test results, you know, over a long holiday, over July 4th, and the weeks go on, and it's sitting there at times, it's normal, and we just don't move on this to take away that anxiety.
It's an experience, unfortunately, most families have felt, and you hit it exactly right. You know, it's that bit of information. You fear most what you don't understand and what you don't know. It's the unknown that scares us. So if you just give people a diagnosis, even if it's not a good one, this is, by the way, why doctors are actually sometimes quite effective in politics. A good political leader tells you stuff, empowers you with information. It's not always information you want. Look what happened with what's going on in the Middle East. There's plenty of times when there's news you just don't want to deal with, but a good, strong political leader will make wise decisions, be transparent with the public. I have confidence in the American people. They deal with news, good or bad. And that's why I'm so excited about the opportunities that we have with reforming, with the big, one big, beautiful bill, the issues we're facing in healthcare in America. We have an opportunity, a generational opportunity, to clean up the mess. We have a system that is going bankrupt quickly, and we owe it to folks who are struggling with health in America to make sure that these social support systems are intact. If you just throw money at the problem, you bankrupt the systems. You also stretch the healthcare system so widely that it can't take care of everybody. And that's the reality of where we are in America. We are, in many states, paying more for able-bodied individuals. The federal government is paying more for able-bodied individuals on Medicaid than folks on Medicare. Now, how do you explain that, Dom? Someone's worked their whole life, put in 3% of their paycheck every week for their whole life, They think they've worked hard enough to earn Medicare, and they have. That's the law. But Medicare pays below what Medicaid pays. And you know, we've decided we're not going to do that. We're going to fix the Medicaid system in part by ensuring that everyone on Medicaid is able to work, goes to work. That's something that most Americans think is right. If you're going to get free health insurance from the country, at least try. At least show up in your own life by trying to get a job or volunteering or getting an education, take care of your family, do something that shows that you have an agenda for your own life, that you have agency and control over what's going on. And so the American people reciprocate by saying, okay, you're trying your hardest, things aren't working out financially, we're going to support you with insurance in the meantime.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And this is where having someone with your background in so many fields, but particularly as a doctor, comes into play to arbitrate. You actually have lived through it versus even if you're smart and studied it. The Medicaid policies, tell me, is there anything that we should know that you found out maybe you weren't fully aware of until you actually go granular in doing this job? You've touched upon the big, beautiful bill and the broad stroke about what we're trying to do. What have you learned since you've been in this role?
Well, it's a bit scary, frankly, to understand how badly the program has gone off the rails. Some of it, in fairness, was because of COVID. There were rules made at a time when people were very uncertain, but these rules did not serve our nation well. The cost of Medicaid has gone up 50% in 5 years, fastest growing budget item in most states, including Pennsylvania. It's a real crisis when you add in the problem with the Affordable Care Act. In a similar fashion, as about 20% of the people on the program, that's over 4 million folks, probably aren't on the right part of the program. You know, say it's just an issue with program integrity. And if we don't restore confidence to these systems, they're going to fall apart. And you know, I'm sitting in the Humphreys building, which is it's right across from the Capitol in Washington. And Hubert Humphreys is a quote in the wall as you walk in that a moral government, it's the moral obligation, in fact, of government to take care of those that dawn of their life, the children. More than half children of the children in America are on Medicaid or CHIP, which is children's health insurance. So they're, you know, low income. They take care of those in the dawn of their life, those in the twilight of their life, the seniors, elderly, especially if they're poor, and take care of those in the shadows. You know, folks who are disabled, they have chronic issues. They may not be getting better, by the way. They may need lifelong health care, but that's our obligation as a great people, and we are a great nation, so we'll do that. But if you use those same attributes and now begin to apply it to able-bodied individuals, if you don't quantitate whether or not you actually made enough money to be on the program or too much money to be on the program, then all of a sudden people begin to cheat the system. And we believe
absolutely
this is affecting tens of billions of dollars of American taxpayer dollars. And after a while, the American taxpayer says, you know what, I care about disabled folks, but I'm not going to support able-bodied folks. So and people, especially if they're dishonest about how much money they made, they don't deserve to be on there. Why should I be paying for them? I'm making borderline money as well, and they begin to revolt.
Dr. Oz, too, I know you came back to Philadelphia. You went to Kensington. I see improvement, and one of the ways that I see improvement, the same forces that try to keep Kensington so bad that Mexico uses it in PSA announcements about don't become a drug addict or you'll be like this, are pushing back hard. And your heart, when you were running, you went to Kensington, embraced addicts. You got some of them into treatment. What have you seen when you came back to Philadelphia and went to Kensington?
One of the problems with not just Kensington, but I've also been in the Tenderloin District in San Francisco, which very similar, you know, these big drug invested areas get that way because you farm homelessness, mental health issues, and addiction. And I say farm it, I don't mean because people are being bad. It's because they're being soft in ways that don't actually help the people who are struggling. So if you start giving out showers and blankets and food and water, these are all humane things, especially in the heat wave we just had. So, I mean, I did it. You have to do it. But at the same point, you have to be tough when getting folks off the streets to where they need to be, which is in therapy. So as an example, if you go to a city like Miami, which has done a great job reducing the kinds of drug addiction, the open-air drug markets that exist in Kensington, they're just difficult with these addicts. They make them every 3 days go into rehab. They claim that they're defecating publicly, which is true, by the way, so that's illegal. So therefore, you have an excuse to get them off the streets. And after a few times, either they get into long-term therapy because the hassle is not worth it, or they leave, and or they go back home and maybe their family takes them back. So you've got to make it a difficult life if you're going to live open in an open-air drug market and being preyed upon by drug addicts, it doesn't work. I do believe there's been an effort in Kensington. I met with the police leadership. I know the mayor's office, they came and toured with me as well. They're doing a better job, I think, getting folks off the streets, making it harder for people mm-hmm. to deal drugs in the open. And that's what you have to do. And you know what? It looks tough because you've got cops pulling these homeless folks with mental health issues, because almost all of these people do have deep-seated psychological problems. That's why they're on drugs and killing themselves. But I tell you, I've had conversations with some of these folks who are addicted to drugs. It breaks your heart. And I was talking to an EMS guy about this, and he said, the hardest part of his job is when he saves someone's life and they don't appreciate it. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I'll give someone Narcan, which is the antidote to an opiate addiction. You think you bring them back from death and they'd be appreciative. And instead, what he hears over and over is, why did you do that? Why did you save me? I was done. And that's what we're dealing with. People don't want to be alive. We got to get into them the joy of life, the beauty that was imbued in them by God when they were born, and get them to appreciate that that is their path to salvation. And to get them off the streets is the first step. It's the broader psychological support. But we have to do that, because when I was in med school in West Philly, we would go to Kensington. It was not an open-air drug den. All the mm-hmm. people invest in those areas, people had shops there, people live in that, they can't go back home again. You've destroyed the livelihood of countless blocks in Philadelphia, and it's not right.
Absolutely. Dr. Oz, thank you so much, as always. By the way, I just wanted to put one note, too. The White House is really detailed. Just a nugget for our listeners that you can maybe want to quickly comment on. With this authorization, they're going to cut down on the ones that need authorization. Right there, I think that's going to help to free up the system a bit.
Well, the prior authorization catastrophe will be addressed. The White House is passionate about it. The president has spoken about this. Secretary Kennedy, who look at the numbers, you can't believe that you would subject that many Americans. I mean, there's over 3 million people on Medicare Advantage alone that got stuck on a prior authorization request. So we're here to serve the American people. None of us came into government. I had a great life outside of government. I came in because I think there are things we can do, maybe for the first time in a decade or more, to change the system, get us back on track again. And we're going to do just that.
Doctor, welcome home. Thank you very much, as always, Dr. Oz. Pleasure.
God bless.
All right, there's
Dr.
Oz here on Talk Radio 1210.
Yeah, Dr. Oz with us. Again, big issues, big guests. I think this is something, again, I know in the minds of some people, it doesn't get the juices flowing as when RFK Jr. is talking about vaccine and stuff like this. But this is a big change. They use the power to say, hey, you don't want the federal government coming after you here. You're going to have to reform this. And it's very detailed, the reforms. You heard what he said about Medicaid. Problem is, the people in the House are the ones that are reluctant to put people back to work or kick them off Medicaid. I got to say it, surprisingly, the people in the Senate are the ones trying to do that. And I think this is where the big, beautiful bill battle is going to be going back and forth. I'd love to get your reaction to that with Dr. Oz. So expect, if you need medical care and this process, expect it to be better. We'll continue to monitor it. And that's RFK Jr. and Dr. Oz. Side question today. All-time farmer. 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show. And I see more today. The WNBA, Rebecca Lobo. It seems like a nice person, reasonable. She's commenting in a game. Is it a charge or a block? Whatever. And she says, oh, that's what makes America so great. Calls America great. That I could differ with the referee or with you on the panel there. And now it comes out this afternoon that during a broadcast of the Fever Aces game, she let it slip that America is great. Reportedly, an ESPN producer in her earpiece, because there was an 8-second delay before anybody said anything, she had to apologize for saying that. What is wrong with these people, both ESPN and the WNBA, that the world of sports has become this politically correct? I think they didn't analyze this. just in their gut, they said, hey, you can't call America great in making this point. She wasn't making a political point. She was just saying how freeing it is. We could differ on this. It was a gut check because the woman who was the real lead of the panel was appalled. But of course, you're going to have to. What is wrong with these people? The instinct is what tells. Not when you have their hours to think about this, but your instinct on the spot that you got to say, yeah, I apologize. What are we apologizing for? All right, let's go to Joe in Columbus here on Talk Radio 1210 to kick things off. Oh, God. Caller system's working, just my mouse is. All right. Hey, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. Dom, isn't it amazing that the party of tolerance, love, joy, and free speech has to be that discriminant? What's so bad to say that, you know, this is great, that is great, the other thing is great, but they want to curb that, and you've got to walk that fine line that only leads to failure.
Yeah, and what evidence would indicate this is not the greatest country in the history of the world, flaws and all and the rest of it? Would they like to debate that? I mean, who's an ESPN producer looking at his sheet and saying, you can't say that?
Spoiled ingrates.
Yeah.
That's what leads.
And morons. They're stupid. Yeah. On top of this, isn't an elevated thing where I differ. They're just low. There's morons.
You just can't talk off the cuff these days.
Yes.
No matter where your heart lies. It's incredible. You there?
I'm sorry. I'm here, Joe. Go ahead.
My side answer was that piece of Americana art that. Thanks to Henry. Henry, my wingman, gave me the artist. But
yeah.
It depicted not just the hard times of the Depression, but probably even the Dust Bowl, the husband and the wife mm-hmm. with the pitchfork.
Yeah, American Gothic.
American Gothic.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it American Gothic? Okay.
That is a great one.
I can't recall the... painter's name.
Hey, but by the way, Joe, yeah, by you being the first caller and in Jersey, I note this to Ro each time. She goes, yes, for the 87th time. There's a great farmer about when you get to Hamilton on either side, either coming back to Philadelphia or going, Giordano. Giant truck with Giordano on it. Yes.
Yes, yes, Dom, and I think he may be a blueberry farmer. You are correct.
Yes.
As the crow flies, that's only maybe 15 miles south of me. You got a lot of blueberry farmers in Hamilton, and they've been mainstays, and most of them are in fact Italians.
There you go. Thank you. And there's Tomasello. The wines are right there. Love those Tomasello wines. All right, 855-839-1210. We hope to talk to Pastor Bill Devlin to give us an update. The trial is packed, and here's a nugget about the trial with the Fitzgeralds that the other side doesn't like, these creeps. Here, it is not where we have somebody who's African-American committing the crime, and everybody says it's racism, that we want the death penalty. Here, it's this privileged little punk from Buckingham murdering an African-American dad of three or four kids. And the family, the father, a big-time police administrator, and mom. So you can't use that excuse on this. And yet, if he gets life imprisonment, as I read this, that would be a miracle. What possible excuse can they have? But apparently, people are packing it, supporting the Fitzgeralds. I'm not sure about the Pfeiffers, if they're there or not. All right, we'll get into that. More of your calls coming up. And something I just have to tell you, even with all this, well, I'm going to play you Stephen Colbert and his audience celebrating the fact that they believe we may not have effectively damaged the Iranian nuclear program. Why would a comedian be talking about this? And why would a comedian's audience be hooting and hollering and celebrating that these murderous people who would murder Stephen Colbert and people like that instantly may still have their nuclear program? Why? Well, we'll tell you why.
coming up here on The Dom Show.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.